Join me, if you will, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Draw our attention on today. Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. We indeed are so thankful to be with you on today. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you need more time, say wait up, Reverend. All right. I want us to at least leave here saying, boy, we have some good scripture today. I'm reading from the King James translation, which is my custom. You'll find words similar to these. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most holy and merciful Master, we thank you afresh for your will and your way. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in your house. And now we ask that you would step forward, that we might step back, that we might receive a word from you. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. We stand as an empty vessel before a full fountain. Fill us until we overflow. Bless now this your servant. This is your servant's prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Still getting a little feedback. If you just lighten up just a little bit. Amen, amen. I want to share with you from this thought in the moments allotted to me today. I simply want to share with you from the text, how to handle a storm. How to handle a storm. Thank you, ushers. Elder, I've discovered time flies, and it's been almost 25 years since the Reverend Dr. H. Beecher Hicks penned the book, Preaching Through a Storm. And in that book, he shares with us that we are always in one of three positions. Either we are just entering into a storm, we are just coming out of the storm, or for the most part, there are those in under the sound of my voice who are in a storm right now. Y'all gonna help me, right? And so in the midst of all of this, I mean, we've had many occurrences, and we're still talking about Sandy. Lord have mercy. And in the midst of all of that, I recall when the actual incident occurred, and in Perth Amboy, where I live, we live in a complex, and it was amazing just how good God is, because on right across the street from us, there was damage. In our little cul-de-sac, there was damage. But for us, there was no damage. Only thing we lost was we lost electricity for about 10 hours. We lost cable for about 3 days. And that was it. But there was damage done everywhere. I don't have to go that far back. You have to really, literally be in a cave not to know what occurred in New York City the other day. As individuals were sleeping in their home or getting ready for the day, and there was an explosion. And I'm sure you heard most recently that as they were searching through, they found the Bible of the church. And it was a little water damaged, but it was still able to work. Y'all not hearing me yet, but hang on in there. I won't be long. But in the midst of all of this, it's just a matter of understanding that there are going to be times, and more importantly, You know, even as we talk about that, I believe and I know for a fact that there's somebody here right now who's going through a storm right now. But I just stopped by to give you some good news, because I've discovered that the storm is where you'll always find our God. Are y'all with me here? Amen. Amen. And our storms may not be the same, but in the end, they help us to take us to our next level. You see, everybody wants blessings, but no one wants to go through what you have to go through in order to get to where the blessing may be. Hello? And so in order for us to be blessed, we've got to realize that God brings these issues, one, so that he can teach us how to handle the storms, and then two, to give us the understanding that we need to be able to be prepared to make it through the storm. You see, we spend so much time thinking about what it is that we think we need, not realizing that God has already orchestrated our life so that we can be better and that we can be blessed. You see, I don't have a problem with blessings. What I do have a problem with is individuals who suggest that you can receive all the blessings, but that you'll never go through anything. I did stop at the right church this morning, didn't I? And so as we go through, what I've discovered and what the text will show us is not only are we in the storm so that we can be blessed, but we are also in the storm because if you look at the text, you'll discover that everything that occurs to us is because God has literally orchestrated us to that point. Amen. I'm preaching already. Y'all just don't know. Can we look at the text for a moment? Amen. In the context of all that goes on, look at what's happening. And for you Bible readers, I need to make you aware that here in chapter 14 of the Gospel of Matthew, that Jesus in his ministry has taken a shift. He has begun speaking in parables. Amen. And you know that a parable is an earthly message with a heavenly meaning. Okay, it helps us to get better in terms of our context. You are familiar with the parable of the sower. You are familiar with the parable of the mustard seed. And even after that, he is basically rejected by his hometown folks. And he has just finished giving a happy meal to 5,000 men and a lot more women and children. Hello, somebody. And so after he begs the multitude to go away, he says to his disciples, I need you to go to the other side. And while he does that, he goes to a place alone to pray. Amen. I'm already in my first point, verses 22 and 23, because you see, what you have to know is that God gives us our preparation for the storm. Watch this. Jesus goes away alone to pray. Can I help somebody out? Worship is wonderful, but every now and again, you need to go somewhere so you can be alone. And then for God's sake, when you're alone, please make sure you pray. Y'all looking at me strange. Can I put it this way? If Jesus prayed, what makes you think you can get away without praying? Amen. So in verses 22 and 23, he sends them to the other side and he goes privately to pray. Amen. And so we must be prepared because, you see, the reason why some of us have so much trouble in the storm is because we haven't prayed before the storm. Amen, somebody. See, when things are going well, you seem to think that prayer is necessary. But then once you get in the middle of stuff, people can't stop you from praying. But I suggest to you that if you pray when you're on the mountain, he'll be with you when you're in the valley. Amen. I said you got to prepare. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, but more importantly, you need to pray every day. Y'all looking at me strange. Amen. Amen. I'm pretty sure that when you got up this morning, you prepared yourself. You went into the bathroom, and there are certain things you had to do in order for you to make sure that you look a proper way. I'm pretty sure you didn't roll out the bed looking like you look right now. Well, if we have no issue with physical preparation, What makes you think that you don't need spiritual preparation? Amen, somebody. Before you even roll out of bed, when your eyes open, you should say, thank you, Lord. And you should make sure that your day includes a time with the Lord, that you should thank him and talk to him. And then don't be in such a hurry. Give him a minute to talk back to you and celebrate who he is. That's being prepared for the storm. Are you with? There are accidents that happen every day in every way. And yet and still, the Lord allows us to get up and go to work and then come back home and we are safe. We need to know that God has protected us and that God is with us because we're prepared. Are you with me? I'm moving on, lest I tarry too long. But before I hit verses 25 to 27, I need to stop in 24 for a minute. Because the wind, we're told, was acting up. The Bible says it was contrary. Contrary is defined as acting in a manner which is generally not the way you act. Some of us get contrary. Oh, I'm sorry. I came to the wrong church. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm at Mount Olivet. I forgot. But there are some churches where folk come to church contrary. Matter of fact, y'all looking at me strange. You want a joke? I got your joke. Yeah, true story. True story. I was at my home church growing up. And I was sitting in the vestibule right before service started. Now worship I know is different now, but when I got in, you know, praise and worship was already here. You know, we don't do as much processing anymore. But in those days growing up, we had a choir and they had robes and they were processed. Wow. And they didn't have praise and worship, they had devotion. Yeah, y'all know nothing about that. Talk to me afterwards, I can help you out. But in the midst, I'm sitting there, and there's these two sisters with their choir robes on, right? And one says to the other, well, you know, we can take it outside. The other one said, you ain't said nothing but a thing. They took off their robes, laid them on the chair, and they went outside. Now when they came back, all I could tell is whatever appeared to happen must have been verbal because neither one of them had any bruises or anything. But when they got back to where they were, the choir robes that they had left on the chair were gone because someone had taken them and put them back in what we call the choir room, where choir robes that are unoccupied belong. See, and my point to you is that you got to be careful because whatever you are, it's got to be a part of who you are. And you better be careful about having choir robe religion. Because when you take off what you have, somebody might just come and take it away. Amen. When people act contrary. So the wind was acting contrary. Put down the shelf. I'm going to come back to that. But look at verses 25 to 27. Because not only is it about our preparation for the storm, but in verses 25 to 27, it's about our position in the storm. I already told you that Jesus is the one that sent them to the other side, which suggests, since he is the Son of God, that he knew that once they got there, that the wind was going to do his bidding for him. Amen. So for those of you who, when you get in trouble, you stop talking to the Lord, that's when you need to talk to him more, because he is the one who has navigated your circumstances to put you in the middle of the storm, not for your demise, but so that he can show you that no matter where you are, that he can reach you and he can find you in the storm. Are you with me? Bible says that it was about the fourth watch of the night, and in first century AD, in the Hebraic tradition, the day was broken up into two parts, and then the day and night were broken up into four parts. So 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is the night. And so the fourth watch or the last watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. He waited until the last possible time right before the dawn to come to their rescue in the midst of what's going on. Are you with me here? And so they're in the midst of the storm, The wind is tossing their ship. And they look out on the water. And it's dark. And they see something. And at first, they're not really sure what it is. But, you know, if I'm on a ship at 3 or 4 in the morning, and something, see, I know y'all saved, sanctified, Holy God, you know, see something not only coming at me, but walking on the water. I don't know if anybody here has that testimony, but you know, you can talk about how strong you are in your faith. That would kind of scare me. Just a tad. But it looks like Jesus. As he gets closer, and he says, "Be not afraid. It is I." What I discovered is that when you're in the middle of something and you're afraid and Jesus shows up, he will let you know that he's there. And really, he generally shows up in a way that you're not used to, because for most of us, that's the only way he can get our attention. Amen. But he does all of what he does so that he can bless us in the midst of what's going on. Amen. But then not only is it about our position in the storm, look at verses 28 to 30. It's about our place in the storm. I don't have enough time to talk about Peter. I got to go. But anyway. So homeboy figures out that it's Jesus Christ. So he says, "Lord, if it's really you, let me walk on the water also." Can I help somebody? You need to spend more time trying to let Jesus help you in the storm, more so than attempting to be Jesus in the middle of the storm. Amen, amen. I know that because of who God is, that he can translate H2O into terra firma. But the reality is, if Jesus is coming my way, it would appear to me that it's easier for me to stay where I am and allow him to come to me than for me to try to prove myself special and get, y'all not feeling me at all, right? And get to me at all. Amen. And so he goes, he says, "Come on." He steps out on the water. Watch this. The Bible says that as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. Y'all not hearing me? I need to say it again. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. But as soon as the wind started to bother homeboy and he took his eyes off of the Lord, the Bible says he sank. And I'm just here to let you know that no matter what you're going through, all you have to do is just to keep your eyes on Jesus. Have I got a witness in the house? Amen. So then, it's not only about our place in the storm, but then verse 31, as I move towards my conclusion, it's about our passport through the storm. Falls into the water. Jesus walks over on the water, extends his hand, grabs him, and then says, "O ye of little faith, why didn't you just believe? If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out." And the reality is that most of us have trouble getting to where God wants us to be. It's because of the fact that we simply don't have enough faith in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Matter of fact, the Bible says in that same book, a few verses later, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And since y'all are looking at me so strange, I have to put it this way. It's all right for you to know that you've gone through something. even if you're unwilling to tell someone else what you've gone through. But I'm a witness that whenever you go through something, the same God that created us and the same Savior that saved us is the same Savior that can reach out into the midst of our trouble and pick us up and put us back on solid ground again. Have I got a witness here? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm through. But I ain't done. Look at this. We talked about our preparation for the storm, our position in the storm, our place in the storm, and our passport through the storm. But for those of you who might remember FBI, there was always an epilogue. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That's all right. But watch this. Verse 33, and I'm out of here. He puts Peter back on the boat, and he joins him with the others. And the Bible says, as soon as they got back on the ship, that the wind stopped blowing. Which suggests to me that it was a conspiracy between Jesus and the wind. And whenever you find yourself in a position where things or people are acting contrary, it might only be to get you to where you need to be. Because just as soon as they hit the place they were supposed to be, then the wind stopped blowing. And I'm here to let you know, as soon as you get to where the Lord wants you to be, storm clouds will roll away. The wind will cease from blowing. And you're spending so much time worried about what's going on that you don't realize that God navigated your position to get you to that point just to let you know how awesome He is. Have I got a witness here? Now, here's the only thing you're doing wrong. It's in the text. As soon as they got on the ship, the others on the ship came and they worshiped because they saw what Jesus had done for their brother. And I'm here to let you know that when God delivers us, for some reason we're so concerned about what people think about us. Amen, amen. You need to stop worrying about folks who, they talked about Jesus. Amen. They're going to talk about you. But news is so transitory these days. Even if they talk about your victory today, before the day is out, they'll be tweeting about somebody else. They'll be on Facebook with somebody else. They'll have an Instagram about somebody else. So don't worry about that. But the reason you want to come into the house of the Lord and tell them what the Lord has done for you is so that they can join you to celebrate how good God is. That's why we've shown up today, is to give God praise and to worship Him. They that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Have I got a witness here? Amen. Because you see, when God brings you out, you want to tell somebody just how good He is. Have I got a witness here? Amen, somebody. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We need to worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's why I'm so glad that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, hey, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Hey, amen. Amen. Ain't the Lord all right? Say it. Say it. Ain't he all right? Give him some praise. Say it. Oh, yeah. He will. I said he will. He will deliver you from the storm. So just hold on a little while longer. Amen. He may not be there right now, but oh, he'll always show up. And when he shows up, he'll show out. Have I got a witness in the house? Somebody say, yeah. How to handle a storm. See, the only mistake you made is you thought that when you wound up in the storm, that Jesus had left you. No, he caused it. Just so he could show up and remind you that he could help you make it through. Have I got a witness in the house? Give God some praise this morning. I'm done. I'll leave you with this. It's not necessarily connected to the lesson, but it's just something that can help you as you move on. It was a family, and unfortunately, the family was led by a pastor who knew how to be good to his congregation, but he really didn't know how to be good to his spouse. And so much so that she was still in the marriage, but she really wasn't happy. And so this pastor got invited to go to Jerusalem. And the wife really didn't want to go, because it's bad enough being mistreated at home. You don't want to be mistreated away from home. But children who were growing out of the house, they convinced it was a wonderful opportunity and she should go. And so she went with her husband to Jerusalem. They arrived on a Monday and they had guides and helpers to help them along the way. And they went to places where Jesus had been and places where he had performed miracles and all of the surrounding areas. And on Friday afternoon, unexpectedly, the man died. And if you know anything about their tradition, sundown on Friday is the Sabbath. And so those who were with her tried to say, ma'am, you know, we're in a straits here. It's Friday afternoon. Whatever we need to do it by sundown, or we can't do it until after the Sabbath. So they brought a magician that they knew. And he arrived and said, ma'am, I've been told of your situation. I've got two options for you. He says, ma'am, we have a borrowed tomb that was given to us that we're able to use for our own purposes. He says, ma'am, we can have a service for your husband, put him in this borrowed tomb, and it will only cost you $150. He said, but ma'am, realizing you're from the States, maybe you want to get your husband home. He said, we can do that too, but to do it before the sundown comes, we can do all of that for you and get you to the States, but it will cost you $10,000. Woman thought about it, and she says, let me get this straight. She said, if I want to leave him here, have a service in a borrowed tomb, it will cost me $150. But if I decide that I want you to send him home back home with me, it's going to cost $10,000. He said, yes, ma'am, that's the case. She thought about it. She says, okay, I've made my decision. She says, I want to take him back home. And so the magician said, ma'am, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He said, but can you just explain to me how you arrived at your decision? She said, well, you told me that if I left him here for you to put in a borrowed tomb, it would cost me $150. But you told me in order to take him home, it would cost me $10,000. He said, well, I want to take him home. So because I've been in Jerusalem all week long, she said, and I discovered and I was reminded that the last time that you buried a man on a Friday in a borrowed tomb, that 3 days later, he got up with all power in his hand. And if you really don't mind, I don't want to take any chances. Hello, somebody. But I don't know about you, but I'm just glad that the Jesus we serve got up early Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Power to heal, power to save, and power to deliver. Is there anybody in the house that thanks God for Jesus? Then stand up on your feet and give God some praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Amen.